and a pleasure to be with everyone here today. And Shishi Radha Gopananda Mandir, on the auspicious event of the initiation ceremony. This is a very important ceremony in the life of the spiritual aspirant. It is a very, very important step in the life of the person who wishes to return back to home, back to Godhead, to engage in the eternal loving service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Today there will be the first initiation ceremony, and there will be second initiation given to the disciple of His Holiness Srila Indragunda Swami, Anuradha Priya Devi Dasi. She was initiated by Indragunda Swami on his last visit to Mauritius, and now on the recommendation of the temple authorities here in Phoenix, she will be receiving her second initiation. ISKCON is a great family. ISKCON is the family that was established by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, we can say that we are all in the family of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that He is the seed-giving father of all living beings. Therefore, we are all the children of Krishna. We belong to Him. He is our original father. And then 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to very clearly and very nicely establish what is the path of worshipping Krishna in the current age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is Sri Krishna, but this time Sri Krishna came in the form of His own devotee to show us how devotees should live and practice in Krishna consciousness. And Sri Krishna, when He was present, He accepted the spiritual master. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, He accepted the spiritual master. To emphasize the importance of this procedure of surrendering oneself to the representative of God in order to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So, since we're here today, and since this is a devotional family, and because there are many family members who are present today, and very respected family members present today, I would like to request a few of our family members to speak on different topics regarding the subject of initiation. And I'm very pleasantly and happily surprised to see His Grace Brihadaranga Prabhu here today. Brihadaranga Prabhu. Brihadaranga is a very respected member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he's a very senior disciple of His Holiness Srila Giridhara Swami Maharaj. And this coming December, Brihadaranga Prabhu will be awarded the Sannyas Order of Life by His Holiness Srila Giridhara Swami Maharaj. It will be a great event. Recently, when I was in South Africa, just this last Sunday, we were observing the 30th anniversary celebration of the installation of the Gornithides in South Africa. And I was requested to speak. And although I really had nothing to do at all with the development of the South African Yatra, I could say that as an observer, having gone there for many years, I can see how the South African yatra has produced very excellent sadhus. We just had the association of Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj. Such a first-class, saintly person who has taken full shelter at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. And also in South Africa, there is another wonderful sannyasi. His name is Srila Parthasarathi Goswami Maharaj. And he is such a deep sadhu. He is so deeply absorbed in the cultivation of knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He is so deeply absorbed in his meditation on Sri Krishna. And practically speaking, many of the devotees in the South African yatra, they became devotees because of Parthasarathi Goswami Maharaj's preaching. He established, back in the 70s, he established what he called this tent campaign. And he used to go to all the different Indian neighborhoods, and he would put up a tent, and he would have programs. And the congregation just grew vastly. And then, I think, 1 year ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, His Holiness Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj gave the sannyas initiation to Bhakti Narasingha Swami Maharaj. And I think he has been here, am I correct?
Yes.
He is African-bodied person. He is from the nation of the Zulus. But he is a very, very wonderful, wonderful saintly devotee, and a very dynamic preacher, and very much appreciated in South Africa, and now abroad. Wherever he goes, people are appreciating his wonderful preaching and his presence. And now shortly coming will be His Grace Brihadaranyaka Prabhu. He's been a devotee, it seems, forever, and he is held different responsible positions in the South African yatra, and for the past number of years he has been aiding devotees all over the world to establishment of the Bhaktivedanta College and establishing different educational programs so that people could increase their knowledge and increase their faith in the Lord. So because we have such a respected Vaishnava in our presence today, I would like to ask Brihadaranyaka Prabhu to speak on the meaning of initiation in the Krishna consciousness process. So now I'll give the microphone to Brihadaranyaka Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
we should speak of initiation into the International Society of Christian Consciousness, and particularly the acceptance of the world as one in life and soul, especially the instruction of the spiritual master of prominence in the life of the disciple, and the instruction to give potency to actually rapid and tangible spiritual advancement. We often pray and to Srila Prabhupada every day when the Guru Mukha in the same line that we pray for Srila Prabhupada, every morning, and the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, everything enters our heart and our consciousness, and take root of the life and soul. And we find the glory of Srila Prabhupada himself giving us the process. Is that through the process since 1966, when we established the International Society for Christian Consciousness, by his potency he has produced so many wonderful sons that are continuing the line of the discipline succession. As Maharaj said, in our greater family spirit in the International Society for Christian Consciousness. So if I have one such prominent son in the International Society for Christian Consciousness, in our most business lives, about the Bhagavad Gita, Swami Maharaj, and because of his heartfelt nature of keeping Prabhupada in his heart, and also following Prabhupada, not only strictly, but in devotion, working for him strictly, but also this aspect of devotion, feelings, pushing Prabhupada, all of the present initiates and even future initiates and initiates, as well as he taking shelter in his mother's feet. Now the principal message I'd like to convey is that because these sons, glorious sons of Prabhupada, are following Srila Prabhupada's own rescue, and at the same time keeping a deep individuality to the best Krishna consciousness also. It's not that they're just following Prabhupada, but they themselves are all uniting with their own individual personalities. And some of the ancients are mostly like human individual personalities. But we find that given the individuality of each personality, we have a sense of collectiveness also to do things together, to work together. And the principal thing that we have to do together and work together is the mission and spirit that the Father Charlie has given us. The personality is like his own spoken word in the story of Maharaj, and many, many personalities in our International Society of Krishna Consciousness also like him. Not only just him, but many personalities there, which we can take shelter of. They have this in their hearts, the initial spirit of his divine grace, his Sivaki with the Swami Prabhupada. So hopefully I pray that after I initiate some of you tonight, that you can take his instructions in your heart and remember them, his instructions, because we also find that our initiating rules may not be easily accessible, not so much on the physical level, but they are easily accessible by the instructions that they may be read. And they're even more easily accessible by you taking shelter of those who are ready to go to them in the inequality of devotees. In other words, you're not alone in the greater family spirit within the international system for Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, his holiness,
Now, we would like to request Krishna Chandra Prabhu to speak on the topic. Once again, we humbly request everybody to put your phones to silent while we are here. Now we would like to request His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to speak on the topic of the 10 offenses to the holy name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada always requested that at the time of initiation, Harinam initiation, that the people being initiated, they would understand that they're receiving this great treasure house of the Maha Mantra, and there is a correct way to do the chanting, and there is an incorrect way to do the chanting. Incorrect way means offensive chanting that should be avoided. So we will request Krishna Chandra Prabhu to speak some. Krishna Chandra Prabhu, please come sit here, Krishna Chandra.
Following the order of my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
So we should abide by the order. Although I am low and fallen, I don't think I'm qualified to speak. Generally, the spiritual master will give initiation, speak on that occasion. But Maharaj is so merciful to allow such fallen soul as myself to speak on such important topic. So we want to lotus feet Maharaj to obey your calling. And also, Maharaj brings forth that with the family of Vaishnava community, given by Srila Prabhupada, the whole parampara is them. And that's our strength. That's our strength. So go directly to the phone. There are 10 offenses to be avoided in the chanting of the holy name. The first is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated the life for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So, this offense is considered the most serious offense in our preaching of our Krishna consciousness practice. So much so that when we glorify the devotees, we appreciate the devotees, we surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master, And of course, to the advanced devotee, karmic is there for spiritual advancement. Conversely, to disobey the order of the spiritual master is it's considered very heavy. So I'm just giving a quote from Chaitanya Bhagavat. In the incident of Jagai and Madai offending Lord Nityananda, there's a very heavy purport given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sakti Thakur Goswami Maharaj. I'm just quoting Adarshadaki from the text. It is said that when a person or a group of persons offend a Vaishnava, they rest assured that seemingly they may go on with the practice of so-called social activities in Krishna consciousness, but they won't be able to achieve the desired results. So we have to be very, very careful. The new initiate or rather the would-be initiate would be getting the seed of bhakti, pure bhakti given by the pure spiritual master, because he possesses bhakti and he only can give that seed of bhakti. So we have to be very careful in the cultivation of the bhakti that means not to commit offenses. Srila Prabhupada said, when we arrive at the point of anartha nivritti in our progression of the different nine stages of bhakti, that meaning like getting rid of our offenses, then our progression in bhakti increases, it accelerates. So much so that the other stages until like bhava and Krishna prema, in course of time, manifest. Second offense is to consider the names of demigods. Demigods, like Lord Shiva or Brahma, to be equal or independent of the name of Lord Krishna or Vishnu. According to Sanskrit injunction, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and many, many courses elsewhere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. From him emanates other incarnations, like generic incarnations, and also, like Lord Brahma, is the first living entity, and from him come the other living gods. So that means that the demigods are not on the same level as Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are empowered living entities. We have to respect them because they are surrendered to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make, to consider them to be on the same level is not the right approach. Here in Mauritius, generally, most of the Hindus are worshippers of the demigods. So we have to, and they say that any type of worship of principally Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or some other demigod are on equal level to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna. So, but this is considered very offensive. So we have to guard against that offense. But we have to respect the demigods. Third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is considered the transparent medium of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meaning that through the spiritual master comes the right knowledge to know Krishna and also to practice our devotional service. So we have to know what are the instructions the spiritual master gives us according to our varna and ashram where we are capable of doing. And also at times the test comes when the spiritual master gives something, some type of service, devotional service of course, which seemingly appears to be difficult for the disciple to perform. But if we pray, we have this experience, personal experience, very sincerely to the spiritual master, to our presiding deity, Srila Prabhupada, then that difficult situation, being material or whatever it may be, it is easily overcome. So much so that we can practice it. It may be difficult, but we should surrender. The whole point is to surrender to the instruction. And the instruction may come from different sources, either through the spiritual master himself directly, or through his representative, as we have in here, the management, the temple president or the vice president, or other managerial capacities. So there again, we have to surrender to such instruction, and there lies our progression in bhakti. The fourth open is to consider, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature version of Vedic knowledge. We cannot directly surrender to Krishna. It is said in Nectar of Devotion that the Lord or Krishna rarely gave bhakti to the devotee. Rarely. So generally bhakti comes from the spiritual master, from the pure devotee. And also when we got through Vedic knowledge, then we become detached and we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead via the parampara system. So the Vedic knowledge is Shastra is the medium where we can see Krishna. Actually, hearing the Vedic literature or studying is a medium where we can see face-to-face Krishna. So to blaspheme the Vedic literature is considered an offense. And we have to study also all the literature, especially given by Srila Prabhupada, so that we progress in there. The fifth offense is to consider chanting of Hare Krishna to be imagination. Today, the new initiate will be receiving the Maha Mantra initiation called Harinam initiation. And that Maha Mantra is Krishna himself. And when it's being given by the spiritual master, the potency of the holy name is already there. But when given by the spiritual master on this auspicious day of initiation, the potency increases. So much so that you can feel it yourself just after initiation when you are in the first round. You can see the big difference how it was, the chanting was before and how it is now. So you should capitalize in that process. And the best way, according to my realization, is to surrender to the chanting. Right now, you have 2 hours or whatever it is. You are all working people, we are all working people, practically speaking. Just a few chosen ones are very fortunate to serve the Lord full time. Our Maharaj himself is dressed here with the Maiden of the Book and others. These are real chosen ones, very fortunate souls. So, for working devotees, just as a businessman, Prabhupada said, he capitalized the time factor for his business. He got little time, and with the little time, he capitalized how to make his assets grow, his business grow. So similarly, for the devotees, we may have 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours per day. And we know that we are limited. So if we really capitalize on the time for our chanting, especially for our chanting in the morning, we can make it good round, 16 rounds, at one and the same sitting if possible. And we completely surrender to the chanting, rest assured, Prabhupada said. I learned it somewhere, subject to correction of Maharaj. Prabhupada said to complete our chanting in the morning before 10, the rest of the day will follow very nicely. So capitalizing on a few hours will give best result for the rest of the day. The 6th open is to give some Monday interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord is transcendental, 100% pure, spiritual, and the subject contemplator. As we said before, it is Krishna himself. So, all our subjects come from the holy name through the spiritual master and the exalted devotees and plus, plus, plus. Srila Prabhupada said, if we are spiritually strong, if we are spiritually strong, in little time, we can achieve much, be it spiritually or materially. Yes. So, the whole secret, the whole success lies in the proper chanting of the holy name. Now, to compare or to say that we have some material calculation to make things work better in spiritual life, this is roadblocks for us, for the devotees. And we can see that. You know, just our mother, just to give a crude example, when Mother Draupadi was in difficulty, she was being destroyed by Dushasana in the assembly of exalted personalities. So she was asking help from different sources. No one could help. Then she said, okay, let me help myself. She held her sari, unsuccessful leader. Then she said, okay, I think Krishna will help me. So she raised one hand and with the other hand, she get hold of her sari. Still no result. Then fill your eyes. Let me completely surrender to Krishna. With both hands above and say, hey Govinda, I'm surrendered. I'm helpless. I'm surrendered to you. Really do the needful. Immediately, there was unlimited supply of sari. Then Dusasana bends down, feet. So, we should have full faith, and our faith should increase day by day, moment by day, moment by moment in our chanting. So, we have to perfect our chanting. Don't just rest like this, because we have taken indication, and it is guaranteed back going back home to go ahead. This is it. This is it. Our Maharaj said, we should end progress and end our life in this present life, going back home, we have to go ahead. But the processes should be rigidly followed by the help of the spiritual master, through his mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, and the rest of the ISKCON family, whoever you think would help you. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the Holy Name. We have basically four sinful activities to be avoided. First is to avoid completely from meditating intoxicants like alcohol, cigarette, coffee, Pepsi Cola, something like this. No gambling in whatever sort, no casino, not even lottery, no, because these are all considered speculation. You bet 5 rupees or whatever it may be, you expect to get millions. So these are pure speculation. So it's considered sinful activity. Third one is coming and say is not. Sorry, I'm a bit blank at time, so consider my age as this talking for that, alright? Yeah, intoxication we said.
Meditating.
No.
Your
research. Oh, fourth one, sorry. So no illicit sex. That's the fourth one. So, this is also very important. Prabhupada said that sex life is, and even Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere also, is meant to produce Krishna consciousness children. So it is permissible for Grihasthas, there was a license to procreate, but under certain conditions. Only for procreation. And in other cases, it is bad. Because illicit involvement in sex lowers one potentiality spiritually. One becomes weak. So much so that he cannot save himself. What to speak of saving others? So we have to protect ourselves from all these sinful activities. And also, other sinful activities also. I must have one. So that's the seventh one. And the eighth one is to consider to consider the chanting of the Holy Name to be one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas, the Putriya Vakya, especially the Karma Kanda section. Now, the Karma Kanda section is actually a web filling where it entangles the practicing living entities. It authorized the Bhagavad Gita of karma, demigod worship, karma resurrection, to perform demigod worship, but less intelligent people take to that process. Why is that? Because through the rituals and through demigod worship, you are guaranteed, if the practitioner is guaranteed, if he or she does it well, heavenly planet. But even on the heavenly planet, life is temporary. So much so that after exhaustion of the pious activities, they have to come back again in the material world. Very few from there go back home, back to Godhead. So, our bhakti yoga system surpasses not only the karma kanda section, but any type of yoga, be it jnana yoga, astanga yoga, or any type of yoga. It's a top mode. It's a top mode. As Bhagavad Gita rightly says, chapter 6, text 47, the last part of that. Among all the yogas, bhakti yoga, in the opinion of Lord Krishna, is considered the best. So, a word of caution, please, especially to the Hindus and to the practitioners of bhakti yoga who are taking the initiation. Last time when His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj was here, he mentioned in one of his discussion of class that he knows that there are many devotees who have taken initiation who are still practicing demigod worship. Of course, that process is there. But when we take, especially when we take initiation, so it should be bus to other processes and take fully to Krishna first. The ninth offense, to pray to a faceless person about the glory of the Holy Name. So when Prabhupada was here and also to our preaching, we preached, yeah, Prabhupada preached to the whole assembly of guests and other personalities. Why is that? Although that offense is there, not to preach to a person, because in the assembly of that, assistant, whatever is there, there are many types of personality. The devotee, there are the innocent, and there are also the faceless. But how to know who are the devotees and the innocent? So that will come through the preaching, and in course of time it will be revealed who is who. So to give the chance to the whole assembled gathering, Srila Prabhupada would preach to one and all. And then there would be the chosen one who would line up to Srila Prabhupada. And that would be the faithful one. So we generally in our line to Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami, especially to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are very compassionate. This is one of the strong qualifications of the devotees, as we are fully aware of Srila Prabhupada's teaching and proofing in videos, how Srila Prabhupada was very compassionate. So we would pray to one and all. So, in our course of preaching, we preach generally, but when we know someone is faithless, then we should avoid. Why is that? Because there will no doubt commit offenses. Two, Srila Prabhupada, to the spiritual masters, and to the Supreme Master of Godhead also. And then we shall be implicated also in that. So we should totally avoid that offense. The tenth offense is not to have complete faith in chanting of the holy name of the Lord and to maintain material attachment. Even after learning so many instructions on this matter. Now, material opulence is there. And the spiritual opulence is there. But these two do not go together. Just like in a rail, parallel, train rail, the two rails should be really parallel. So, the analogy is that when we're practicing spiritual life, and on the other hand, we are maintaining our attachment materially, then that doesn't go side by side. By material, we mean that you expect to get opulences. How do you call it? I swear here. Opulences materially. But these two do not go together. They are not parallel, and the opulences acquired materially will affect our enhancement in Krishna consciousness. But our Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I provide what my devotee lacks, and I preserve what they have. That guarantee is there. There's also that saying, or not only saying, that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna favors the devotee, he takes up all possessions. But this is rare, very rare. Don't be afraid. It happened in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Prabhupada wanted to be a businessman, he practiced so many things, you know, Ayurvedic, pharmacy, clothes, shop, and so many activities. But he was totally unsuccessful. Then when, of course, Prabhupada was a pure devotee, he never thought of Krishna. But when he directly dived himself into full devotional service, especially when he left his family, went to Vrindavan and started preaching actively, then Krishna, with difficulties of course, supplied unlimited opulences to him. He opened 108 temples, plus farm, plus restaurant, plus school, all of these things, business of that. But for the general matter of devotees, Krishna too survived. We all have this experience. I don't know in the case of Maharaj how it is, but I know he's very successful. Krishna gave him further some project, plus more. And then he proceeded to give him more in course of time. And to say Mauritius also. Plus, because he said Swami Maharaj. Am I right or saying something wrong? Please correct me, Maharaj. Please surprise me.
You're always correct.
Yes. So these are the two things. The do and the don't. It's right in the nature of, actually, all these ten offenses come from nature of devotion. The do and the don't. So we should be very that the line of demarcation of the do's and the don't should be very clear in our mind and action. Now, I learned from my spiritual master. His Holiness Hiraj Swami Maharaj, when I was in South Africa some years back, I will say something. Then my spiritual master corrected me. Krishna Chandra, action speak louder than
words.
No. He qualified, of course, the saying is action speak louder than words. But my Guru Maharaj qualified that word, and I complete it now. Action speak louder than laudable words. Very often we consider ourselves like correct in doing things, and we speak to our spiritual master and to other devotees, we are doing that will come from this action. But if we do like this, then we come on the mundane platform, and the result generally doesn't come like this. So we should be very careful with the do and the don't. It goes side by side, the line of demarcation. So you are very fortunate today to be initiated by His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Govinda Maharaj in such an exalted personality through many aspects, and he especially, although he goes throughout the world in many places of the world through his ecstatic kirtan, but I know he has heartfelt feeling for the devotee. He loves the devotees. That's why he has given this fallen soul and others, because they are not fallen as I am, you. This opportunity to speak today, to bring that family together. So, in any case, I could assist you, my dear mother and Prabhu, who will be taking initiation today. If I could be some assistant to you, I left the door of my heart open to you, Father, through the mercy of my spiritual master. His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. And wish you all the best, my dear friends. We are friends. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Chandra Guru Ki
Jai.
So I had planned that I wanted more people to speak, but our time actually is limited because I'm leaving on a flight to South Africa at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So we have many procedures that we need to accomplish, and then I will need to go. I would like to thank Srimad-Bhagavatam Guru for speaking, and I would like to thank Krishna Chandra Guru for speaking. Many people, they speak about the procedure of initiation. Many people have varying understandings of what the initiation ceremony means. Some people feel that the initiation ceremony is the process of participating in the ritual. Some people feel that the process of initiation entails many other things. So, from the perspective of our great Vaishnava Acharya Jiva Goswami, he has said that the process of Diksha it indicates many things, but primarily it indicates that the disciple receives the divine knowledge of God, which is coming through the Guru Parampara. This knowledge of God, which was taught in the Vedic literature, the knowledge of God, which is spoken by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and the knowledge of God, which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the boat by which we will be able to cross the ocean of material life and return to the lotus feet of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself states that there is nothing more sublime and there is nothing more pure than transcendental knowledge. Lord Krishna says, in the past, there were many people who were fallen down very low in the well of material life, but they took shelter of the boat of transcendental knowledge, and they easily crossed to the shore of the spiritual world, where they could engage in direct devotional service to Krishna. Transcendental knowledge is so important to have in our lives. Being the conditioned souls for so many jnanas, we have only been receiving the material knowledge, material information. Now that material knowledge that we have received, maybe it has improved our situation a little bit materially. Maybe it has given us some prestige in society. Maybe that material knowledge has given us a good house or home. Maybe that material knowledge has given us a greater dimension of respect. But the material knowledge has not been able to deliver us from the ocean of birth and death. That's a very, very important point that we should focus upon. It is only the knowledge which we receive of how to engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna that will save us and deliver us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhakti Mam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmitasvataha. He says that it is only by bhakti that I can be known as truth. It is only by having the understanding of the process of bhakti yoga that a person can leave this world and a person can go into Krishna's world. Krishna's world is the world of Satchitananda. It is the eternal world which is full of knowledge and which is full of happiness. So, we have been cultivating this one variety, mundane knowledge, for such a long time. The only result of the cultivation of that mundane knowledge is time and time again we take birth. Sometimes we take the good birth, sometimes we take the bad birth. But the transcendental knowledge will assure you no more birth, no more death in this material world. The cultivation of transcendental knowledge will cut the hard knot of attachment to sense gratification. Transcendental knowledge will cut the hard knot of attachment to all of the things within this material world which are attracting our minds away from Krishna since immemorial time. So Jiva Goswami has said this, the diksha or initiation, it means to receive the knowledge, and by receiving that knowledge, the attachment to the material world is cut. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Vasude Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Aitukam. engaged in the devotional service of Vasudeva. And the fruit of engaging in that devotional service will be the causeless knowledge of the Lord flooding your heart. And when you allow that causeless knowledge of God to flood your heart in detachment from everything within this world of birth and death. Now that will require faith to cultivate. One topic is knowledge, but very, very more important topic is faith. Sri Rupa Goswami has told us all that in the matter of going forward in the science of bhakti, that the first principle to have is faith. And we know that bhakti is not something that we have just stumbled upon. Or this spiritual life is not something that we have just stumbled upon. We have been on a journey for a very, very long time. That faith has been gradually developing for a very, very long time. But on the basis of some unknown, supreme, pious behavior that we have conducted either in this life or in some previous life, in this lifetime we have come very strongly in contact with the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that faith in the Lord, it should be cultivated. Just like Krishnachandra Prabhu, he said, when this faith of Krishna consciousness comes, and when the faith in the holy name of Krishna comes, one should not look to the right, one should not look to the left. It's like in the old days, when the agriculture people, when they would cultivate their fields, like in the West, they would cultivate their fields using the horses. They would put these things on either side of the horse's head, so the horse wouldn't look to the right, the horse wouldn't look to the left. And that's how our cultivation and faith in Krishna consciousness should be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that what does faith really mean? Faith really means this. Faith means that I understand in my life that if I have absolute trust in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if I have absolute faith in the lotus feet of Krishna and the instructions of Krishna and the holy name of Krishna, that every other rule, every other regulation of the entire culture and science of the Veda will be fulfilled. Just to have that unflinching faith on the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's what we're going for. This knowledge has come to us and this faith has come to us. Now in the life of the devotee, we have to cultivate this. Sri Rupa Goswami has said, anyavilasita sunyam jnanam kramadiyadaravitam anukhoyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttamam. He said, what is bhakti? He said, bhakti has different characteristics. Two characteristics of bhakti are that they remove from the heart any other desire that one may have other than the desire to please Krishna. And another characteristic of bhakti is that it will take out from the heart the desire for liberation. It removes the hope for sense gratification. It removes the desire for liberation. Please just sit and be very peaceful. Only for 2 more minutes I will speak, okay? But the main characteristics of bhakti, he says, anukulyena krishna anushivanam. That the sincere devotee who has faith, every day of his life, he will cultivate that faith. And he will develop that faith Because he knows that the activities of the science of bhakti give happiness to Krishna. Cultivation. So it is our responsibility. We will cultivate. Just like many of you, maybe your families before, now you, your families may all be doctors or lawyers or whatever. But maybe generations before, your families were farmers. And the farmer, he knew, if he planted something in the ground, he should cultivate nicely. He should make sure the water was coming. He should make sure the sunlight was coming. He should make sure that when the weeds started to come, to take out the weeds, and then the good fruit would come from the plant. So in the same way, in the life, for every devotee who has faith in Krishna, he should cultivate that properly. And how do we cultivate? What is the best process of cultivation? Best process of cultivation, naturally, is to constantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another good process of cultivation is every day apply your mind, apply your intelligence to going inside of the books of Srila Prabhupada and reading the words of Srila Prabhupada. And becoming so intimately connected with Srila Prabhupada through studying his books, that when you sit and study those books, you hear Srila Prabhupada talking to you. It's just like Srila Prabhupada would be giving you personal instruction. This is how you understand this. Is it clear? This is how you understand this topic. Is it clear? This is how you understand this topic. Is it clear? Just like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's described that when the hero, Gop Kumar, when he goes to Brahma Loka and becomes the Brahma, then every day his father Vishnu, he calls him. And he goes and he sits down on the lotus flower next to Vishnu. And Vishnu says, this is a secret for the Veda. And then he'll explain some Vedic topics to Gop Kumar. He says, now do you understand? And if the sincere devotee will every day study the words of Srila Prabhupada's books, you will hear Srila Prabhupada talking to you. Do you understand? Are you clear on this point? You'll find yourself going throughout the day, instead of just thinking how you're going to pay for the children's education, how you're going to pay the mortgage at the end of the month, how you're going to pay for this, how you're going to be able to get the doctor on the time, you'll be thinking, oh, Srila Prabhupada has said this about reincarnation. Srila Prabhupada has said this about loving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has said this about service to Vaishnavas. These things will go inside of your awareness instead of all of these other things. Srila Prabhupada said, one time there was a rich man, very rich man, and in the morning, he walked out of his house at 8:15, and when he stepped out of the door, his limousine was there, and his driver was there. His driver got out, opened the door, and he said, good morning, sir. He said, good morning. The man sat down in the back seat of his car. And when he sat down in the back seat, he opened his briefcase, and he started going to his important points that he had to cover that day in his business. Now they will do differently. He will take out his telephone, or he will take out the computer. But the man started going to his points of the very, very, very important business of his day. And as he was driving, he spoke to his driver and he said, when is the last time the car was serviced? The driver said, oh, sir, it was serviced last week. Thank you. Driving a little further. Are the tires on the car in first-class condition? Oh yes, sir, the power of the perfect. Going back to studying his important points. So instead of the less important points of life being the most important points of life will actually become the most important. You hear from Srila Prabhupada. That is a good way to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Chanting the holy names, hearing Prabhupada's instructions, serving the deities, Everybody, every devotee in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, they should understand Srila Prabhupada printed books. Srila Prabhupada established deities. Srila Prabhupada wanted the two processes going on simultaneously because he knew how powerfully these things would purify the heart. And then serving Vaishnavas. If you want to please Krishna, serve Krishna's devotees. There is no way to get around this point. Krishna loves his devotees. And when Krishna sees that we are serving the people who love him, Krishna puts both hands up. It's not that just Krishna puts one hand up to give Asherah. Krishna puts both hands up. He blesses fully when he sees that we're making an effort to serve those people who are his servants. And Srila Prabhupada always told us that. The safest position is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Sometimes people say, oh, but to be so low down in the pecking order, to be so low down there, right at the bottom. One time I was talking to one American Indian. This was a long time. You know, we have Indians in America also. They're not like you people. They're not Biharis. They're a different race of people. Their skin is different. And they have the very ancient, very old traditions they have. And they used to have these things, these poles that they would make with different carving. Did you ever see that or hear about that when you studied about Americans and history and stuff, called totem poles? And one time I was speaking to one American Indian, I said, oh, the person at the top of the totem pole, he is most important. And this man looked at me and said, no, 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 the person at the bottom. Because he's supporting all the rest. Or it's like the example that I gave of grass the other night. We don't think of grass. But how nice is grass? Say we can be walking on some stone, it hurts our feet so much. We walk on the grass. Such nice cushion. And then as soon as we step off the grass bounces back up again, just so that it can serve someone else. You see, very low, humble servant. So this is the mentality that we should have in our great family of Krishna consciousness. We love to be servants. We love to care for Vaishnavas. We love to care for the deities. We love to care for the Shastra. We love to care for the holy name. And most important thing is this, and I'd like to request everyone here and our initiates, everyone here, pay this little attention to this point, then I will be quiet. The point is this. We may love to care for holy name, we may love to care for deities, we may love to care for Vaishnavas, we may love to care for Shastra, but if we look at ourselves, we say, oh my goodness, still we're making mistakes. How am I going to be able to jump ahead? How am I going to be able to cross that vast ocean from where I am now to where Krishna is? Because still, sometimes I do wrong things. Sometimes I may let myself become angry. Sometimes I may say something bad to someone. Maybe sometimes I don't get up in the proper time. Maybe sometimes I eat, you know, 5 liters of bouillon instead of 1 liter of bouillon. Still I find I'm not controlled. Still I find I make my mistake. Ravindra Bhairam is there. He is a troublemaker. I went to my home last night where I'm staying, and I find, no, this lady is a troublemaker. New packet of Jetta. And so I'm waking up in the middle of the night because of the call of nature, and I'm walking to the bathroom at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking back and Jetta's there. And even my eyes aren't open, and I open the box of Jetta, and I go, Ma, Prasad. So, Sometimes some fault is there. So how are we going to overcome that? And we can overcome that if we will sincerely dedicate ourselves to the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants that each of us, not just the initiated people, or the people who are going to be initiated, or the initiated, or the other uninitiated, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants each and every one of us to go to each and every person in Mauritius, and with folded hands, he wants us to say, "Oh, my dear brothers, oh, my dear sisters, please, you take this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra." And that is the difference between ISKCON and other organizations. Some people will say, "Oh, ISKCON is just another Hindu organization." And if we don't go from door to door, if we don't follow the mood of Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, who on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they went out to everyone. They went out to the French. They went out to the Chinese. They went out to the Creoles. They went out to the Muslims. They went out to everyone with folded hands, and they said, "My dear sirs, my dear madams, actually, you're eternally part and parcel with Krishna. Please take up this process of Krishna consciousness." If we do that, then we'll catch that extra mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then even though I may eat the Mayaram's chapter at 3 o'clock in the morning, then some mercy will come from the Lord. We need that mercy. We need that mercy. If we will absorb ourselves and try to catch that mercy, that great, astounding mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita, "Whatever you have, I will maintain, and what you don't have, then I will give that to you." And that's what we need. Because if you're in the same situation that I'm in, there's many things that you don't have that you need. Therefore, we need mercy. So I would like to request you all, develop that faith. Cultivate that faith. Now, because you have cultivated that faith at this point, you're surrendering your lives to accepting a master and to accepting a parampara, but never look back. Continue cultivating that faith the rest of your life, and by the Lord's grace, you'll return back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you. Now we will quickly continue with our procedure. First, what we will do is we will perform Ajman. Ajman is the purificatory rite. And the way that we will perform Ajman is this. Everybody kindly listen. You will take the spoon in your left hand, you'll put 2 drops of water in your right hand, you'll sip that water, then you'll put another drop of water in your hand, and you'll wash your hand that way. So everybody please, spoon in left hand, 3 drops of water in right hand, sip, wash the hand. Now we will chant the mantra together. Everybody.